Jeffrey Lord is with us from the American Spectator, the Conservative Review, thejeffreylord.com, and of course, Newsmax TV. Hello, Jeffrey, and how are you?
I am just excellent here, Richard. I have to tell you, there is 0% chance of rain out here at the beach, which is just fine with me.
Oh, well, very good. Enjoy that beach time while you can get it. That's what I say. And I love the fact that you're still chatting with us. You're on vacation, and yet you still pick up the phone and call, which very nice.
Well, you know, you don't want to. I learned long ago in my lifeguard days, getting out there at, like, say, 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning and staying till 5 in the afternoon is not advisable.
No, it's a good way to fry yourself. I've done it more than once, trust me.
Exactly. My sensible self goes every afternoon around 2:30 to 3 o'clock, so plenty of time to do this.
There you go. So I couldn't help but notice that there seems to be quite a disparity between the amount of panic that we're seeing in the media about the Delta variant and the numbers that we're seeing in terms of who's actually in the ICU and the death rate from the so-called Delta variant. I'm not saying that the Delta variant doesn't exist, but it doesn't appear as though we're seeing the sort of all-out-and-out crisis that has been predicted. Is it still coming? Am I just too early to this party? Or is this, as I suspect, those in power attempting to consolidate even more power by bringing up the COVID boogeyman again?
Well, I tend to think it's the latter. If we've learned anything here, there's a certain degree of hysteria in the media about this kind of thing, and they overreact. They're not very calm about it. And then you've got the people in charge who are very into power and all of this kind of thing. And it's not good. One of the interesting statistics that I saw in the last 24 hours, that there have been more homicides in Washington, D.C. than COVID deaths.
Yeah.
And yet, where is the concern here? It simply isn't there. You've got all these people streaming across the southern border with COVID. Where's the concern about that? Doesn't seem to be there.
21 homicides in Washington, D.C. through the month of July compared to 8 COVID deaths.
Right.
And, of course, you get the chief of police out there saying, this is making me sick and I'm just upset and whatever. And it's like, well, okay, then what are you doing about it? You know, aside from going on camera and whining and complaining that you have an immense number of deaths. Washington, D.C. is a city of about 600 and maybe 90,000 people. Okay, so we're not talking about New York City here. They just passed 100 murders on January 10th, the earliest they have ever passed the 100 homicide mark in Washington, D.C. At some point, you have to look at it and go, clearly you people are not doing something right here.
Well, that's right. And I mean, I don't know the police chief. I saw his statement, but I did live in Washington a long time, and I know enough to know that the person who's in charge of Washington, D.C. is the mayor, true in most cities. And Mayor Muriel Bowser, she who is mandating masks for everybody and was caught at some party without her mask, it's the same old story here. These policies are liberal policies that they follow per the mayor and city council are what are producing this.
Yeah.
And the poor chief of police, not just there, but in some of these other cities, the guy whose name escapes me, who was the police chief in Detroit and has now resigned, African-American chief who was hotly critical of Governor Whitmer and I think may even challenge her as a gubernatorial candidate. But he was pretty incensed about the way Detroit is being run. And, I think this is fairly standard with a lot of police departments. They're sort of, they can do so much, but they're sort of, held up from doing all the things they would want to do.
Many of them are very concerned about the legal system. They're saying, our problem is the district attorneys or the attorneys general, whoever it is, they seem to be turning these guys around and putting them right back on the street. They're cutting, cheap and easy deals. In all too many cases, They're picking up felons who are in possession of firearms. They're taking the firearms away, slapping their wrists, and putting them back on the street, which is a recipe for more crime. As we saw in New York City when they started getting serious about that, the crime rate dropped precipitously.
Well, that's right. That's right. If you've got a mayor in any city that's not unlike, say, Rudy Giuliani back in the 90s, you're going to be all right. If you've got a mayor like Mayor Bowser or some of these other, you know, very liberal mayors, they're following this political philosophy, which results in disaster.
I think
you and I would agree they lack common sense, which is the most important value of all in a situation like this.
When you try something, when you say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do A, and then the conclusion of that is what happens is B. If B isn't what you want, well, stop doing A. I mean, that's not rocket science.
Right.
And here's a perfect example. It appears as though in Portland, you know, last summer they did away with what they called the gun violence team. They were like, we need to do away with that team. We got to get rid of it. So the gun violence reduction team was disbanded by Mayor Ted Wheeler last year amidst Black Lives Matter protests. Homicides went up 500%. Now Ted Wheeler is trying to rebuild that unit, and no police officers want to volunteer for it. They're like, yeah, we saw how you treat people on that unit. We're not interested in getting involved. Should that be a shock to anybody?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and the leadership comes from the top. And no wonder you've got police officers all across the country quitting, retiring early. They want out of this. If they're not going to... If they realize that the city leadership is not going to have their back, I mean, if somebody does some particular terrible thing, as in the George Floyd thing, that's a horse of a different color. But 99% of police officers are not like that. And to sort of cast a widespread sort of blame situation for all police, you are going to dampen their enthusiasm to be a policeman. And then what?
Yeah, why in the world should I become one if I'm going to be treated like garbage? In the same way that, you know, military recruiting and volunteerism dropped off after Vietnam, because it was like, I saw people spitting on those guys when they got off the planes. Why would I want to go do that? It virtually killed the G.I. Joe doll. Anyway, Barack Obama, back to the COVID thing. Barack Obama expecting 700 people at his 60th birthday party. You know, this is another one of those situations where I go, let's look at the powers that be and what they're doing. These guys talk a good game about things like global warming, but they all buy waterfront property. They talk a good game about COVID, but they have these parties where 700 people are showing up. You think anybody in Martha's Vineyard is going to be wearing a mask?
No. You know, Rich, I mean, I have to say, one of the features of communism as it is practiced in reality is that you've got all the elites, the upper crust, if you will, of the Communist Party system. I mean, Joseph Stalin in the day with all these elaborate dachas and all sorts of lovely vacation spots in the Soviet Union. Meanwhile, as people are suffering from a famine and starving to death and all of this kind of thing, this is how the American left or the left in general works. And so you get people at the very top, like former President Obama, who just, you know, the rules are for thee, but not for he. And it drives a lot of people crazy. And I think this is a serious problem. Frankly, I think this is one of the reasons why Donald Trump was elected and may still be elected again.
May very well. We'll talk about that more in our next segment. We're chatting with Jeffrey Lord, American Spectator, Conservative Review, thejeffreylord.com, Newsmax TV as well. Don't go away, Jeffrey. We will hurry right back. Stick around. Jeffrey Lord is with us from a variety of places. And it looks as though we're getting at least a little bit of if nothing else, a head fake from Team Trump, suggesting that he is working his way toward a 2024 run. What do you make of it?
Yeah, it's my understanding in reading, catching up on this, that Mark Meadows says that he's meeting with various of his cabinet members. There's a piece in today's New York Post about exactly that. I mean, look, I have to say, I don't know all that's going on in there behind the scenes, but I know him well enough to know that he is one of these never give up types. In fact, that was the title of one of his books, Never Give Up. It is just totally uncharacteristic of him to walk away from something like that. And I really do think he's going to run again.
It'll be interesting to see, because obviously the Democrats are trying desperately to make January 6th a huge issue. I think most Americans have moved on and forgotten about it. They're trying really hard to, throw that footage up on news media whenever possible, and this ridiculous one-sided committee that Nancy Pelosi is hosting, but very few people are actually paying attention to, is trying to keep that thing up. Like, this is the guy responsible for the insurrection, and how dare you?
Well, you know, Richard, I've got a piece that's going to come out either tonight or tomorrow in the American Spectator, and I've sort of gone after the two Republicans on the committee, Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, right in front of their eyes, with all this testimony that came forth from these policemen the other day. What does this say? As somebody who's worked in the U.S. Capitol, I can tell you exactly what it says. It means the Speaker of the House did not do her job, knowing ahead of time that there was going to be a problem. She knew as far back as December and did nothing, nothing. She left the U.S. Capitol building defenseless.
Yeah.
And contrary to the impression that President Biden and others are trying to give out, there have been problems in the U.S. Capitol long before this situation. In 1954, they had Puerto Rican nationalists in the gallery suddenly pull out guns. They wounded five members of Congress. In 1998, some guy blew in there and killed two Capitol Hill policemen. Every time there's a protest of any kind, good Lord, in old days it could have been about Vietnam. In today's world, it could be Black Lives Matter. There has been often enough violence. You're supposed to expect this when a mass protest of any kind descends on Washington, D.C. She did not do that. She did not do her job. And now, that, yeah, I think, is a real scandal.
The FBI and the DOJ had forewarning about all of this because the FBI had informants on the inside of these guys. A very liberal friend of mine posted, I think, on Instagram at one point, you're going to try to tell me that this insurrection wasn't planned ahead of time? They made T-shirts and had a picture of a couple of guys who were at this thing who had T-shirts on that were like, Civil War, take back, whatever. And I just responded, you're going to have to pick a side. Either Trump incited it that day or it was planned ahead of time. But you can't have both of them. And
he
went and took the post down because I guess he wasn't prepared to actually have to defend that statement. You know, these guys who are trying to say that Trump was he was the one who incited it and he should have been impeached and so on and so forth flies in the face of the facts we know. The Eric Swalwell lawsuit against Mo Brooks and Donald Trump and Rudy Giuliani is ludicrous and I think should be laughed out of court in about 5 minutes if they get this thing right.
Well, Richard, as I may have said to you, I was invited to the White House rally. I literally had a front row seat next to my pals, Diamond and Silk. I saw the president close up. I heard every word he said. He said to protest patriotically and peacefully. That is hardly an incitement. This was planned before that speech, before he ever appeared on that stage.
Sure.
This was planned well ahead of time, and there were bad actors there who should, in fact, be punished. But it had nothing to do with incitement from President Trump. That's just a bunch of bunk.
Speaking of Diamond and Silk, they're raising ire by speaking out against Fox News, refusing Mike Lindell's ad. Mike Lindell apparently has an event coming up that involves, I'm not really sure exactly what the situation is. Do you know about this, that he's trying to promote something?
I saw them saying something about it, but I don't really know what, I've sort of been, you know, out of touch here. I really don't know what all the ins and outs of this are. He apparently has an ad of some sort and Fox rejected it. And, you know, I have to say, television networks, as I suspect with radio networks, have the right to reject anything they want. So without knowing all of the substance, I don't know. But I just, you know, Fox is perfectly within their rights to reject whatever and take the criticism such as it is or not.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And certainly we've had our share of stuff come down the line that we've looked at and said, oh, no, we would love your money, but no, we're not going to do that.
I mean, I say for the record, I know Mike. I like him a lot. He sponsors my podcast. You know, I'm very pleased to have it. So there you go.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how this plays out. He's one of the few guys who's standing up with a backbone when Dominion comes down and says, we're hitting with a billion-dollar lawsuit. And he says, well, do your worst. I'm prepared to handle that. While others like even Newsmax TV and Fox News run and try to settle and get all of that stuff out of the way. Dominion now saying that they're going to fly in the face of an Arizona Senate subpoena, which tells me, once again, what do you guys have to hide? Why are you trying to keep this a secret? We'll have to see how it all plays out in time. Jeffrey, we got to leave it there.
Okay.
Appreciate you as always, man. Enjoy the beach, and we'll chat with you next week. All right.
Thank you, my friend.
Take care. There you go, Jeffrey Lord. So many great places you can see and read his stuff. American Spectator by this afternoon, this evening, or tomorrow morning. As he was saying, he'll have a new one out. Writes great columns, writes great stuff. Read it there, hear him here.